This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Too much emphasis is put on originality. Feel free to take ideas and update them at your will. All great artists take and update, except for us.
That's true. We're 100% original.
We're not stealing content for this segment.
That's right.
Not at all.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Cars have four wheels. Hoodies have hoods. It's amusing to me when someone says, this is an original hoodie. Bro. It's a hoodie. It's a hoodie. I can't do this.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
I am Warhol. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh, Walt Disney.
Hour two, kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour two headlines. Draven Fine, what do you got?
Here we go. 20 years ago today, you guys want to take a guess at what happened two decades ago?
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
20 years ago today.
2001.
2001.
Well, we know what happened a few days earlier.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been Bush's first pitch. That was in October.
Did sports come back? I don't know.
No, sports came back the week after, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. It would have been, what, the 16th? It might have been the first sports, because I think I want to say 9/11 was on a Tuesday, okay, which would have meant Saturday would have been like the 16th, so then this might be the first weekend back. Is that what that is?
It is not, okay. No.
I don't have any other guesses.
No other guesses? Cam, you
what
give
sport?
Up?
What sport?
NFL.
Is it something Cowboys related?
It is not Cowboys related.
Tom Brady's first start?
It is indeed. Ding, ding, ding.
What a terrible month.
It's pretty good, though, that I got there.
What a terrible month.
About that? Like, I had to give you NFL hint. I said NFL.
Two cataclysmic events.
That's fine. Still a pretty good guess.
Kind of giveaway. But yeah,
two
20 years ago today.
World ending events.
I don't think you would have gotten it had I said it, but either way, it's fine.
Cam?
It's so
two terrible
Cam's hero.
Events in the same month.
Cam's hero? Got his journey
year.
Started as
what
Patriots quarterback.
Home.
Drew Bledsoe was forced out of the game after getting drilled by Jets linebacker Mo Lewis and came a six-round pick with one career pass, entered for New England. And you know what, John? The rest was history.
I hate it.
The rest was history.
I hate that guy so much.
Still crazy to kind of think about. Many forget that Drew Bledsoe was also the starting quarterback for the Cowboys when he got benched for Tony Romo. So just a bunch of shining stars sitting under Drew Bledsoe. Give him credit, though.
He must do a good job of getting them ready.
He does. I guess so. Crazy to think, though, huh? 20 years ago, that's when Brady's reign started. Wow. All because Drew Bledsoe got knocked out. May never happen if Drew Bledsoe doesn't go. Because he wasn't playing bad, right, Bledsoe, at the time? Early 2000s?
I mean, I don't remember. It was 2001.
Didn't know if you did. Okay.
I mean, it was high paid. I mean, it was a big decision, like, stay with Brady whenever Bledsoe got healthy enough. Bledsoe did have to come in and help him win the Pittsburgh game, I believe, in the AFC Championship, though.
Brady got hurt or is benched?
Brady got knocked out. No, Brady got knocked out, and Bledsoe had to come back in.
I never knew that. Yeah. Wow. All right.
Oh, I hate that guy so much.
some other NFL news for you guys. I guess not really NFL. Well, yeah, I guess he did bet the whole NFL. I hate this. I hate the report that came out I saw yesterday. We talked about that guy that had the parlay, the 16-game parlay. Remember that? And he had all his money on the Detroit Lions, I believe, money line to win Monday night. Of course, the Lions did not win. He lost all his money. Sad story to go 15-1 on that 16-leg parlay. But But the guy catching a break, I guess, because apparently BetMGM is going to reward this guy for getting 15 of the legs correct, since it was he couldn't cash out on the Monday night game because it was a $25 free promotional bet.
Now we're just giving out trophies for participating in gambling?
Exactly, Cam. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Exactly. Where's my participation trophy for gambling?
Because BetMGM did make an exception and will award the bettor $133,000 for hitting the first 15 legs. And I completely agree with you, Cam. What the hell? What the hell is this?
Oh,
you know how many times I've gotten.
Yeah, you know how many times I missed a parlay by one?
Short?
Yeah. Every time.
But this guy, but just because, oh, we blew it out of proportion. Oh, because he
I
got a little attention.
I gave the entire public a same-game parlay last week that missed by one leg. Where's everybody's refund?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Really, though.
Where is it?
Really, though. I completely agree. What do you think about this, John?
I mean, I would like FanDuel to give me my money for Julio's touchdown. That cost me a 14 parlay.
Right.
I mean, we all saw it the other day. Julio scored, right?
Julio doesn't score.
He did score on that play. He did score on that play. Yes, he did.
Titans hater Draven says that Julio scored.
Titans hater?
I mean, that's way less money, too, FanDuel. Like, I mean, if I had just been – is the key, like, I should have been tweeting, complaining about it?
You should have, yeah.
Should I have pressured FanDuel into doing the right thing?
Right.
Bullying
I believe so. That's the only thing – that's the only way it works, I guess.
They could have at least, like, called it –
this is so ridiculous,
man. They could have at least called it a no contest, right, and given me, a three-team parlay win. I will say, like, the only way this makes sense is if that – he tried to contact them before the game, and then they agreed to it. Or if they were like, "Hey, at halftime, whenever the Lions were winning by three, they're like, you know what? Let's lock this in. You can cash out."
That's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. He lost. They got attention, and BetMGM said, "Hey, this is an opportunity for us to get a little pub. Let's give them some free money, so people think, oh, let's go to BetMGM and use our money. We might get some money back if we get a little attention."
I'm gonna start sending fake parlays to Darren Rovell and be like, "Wow, I'm at 15 of 16 legs. This is crazy."
I would imagine that they would be able to check it, Cam, and be like, this isn't real. So, they're just going to be giving you out money.
I use Photoshop.
You never know. You never know.
The internet will believe it, at least. The website may not, but
that's all you need. You just need the people tweeting about it, and all of a sudden you're going to get free cash in your pocket when you shouldn't. This guy doesn't deserve a dime. He deserves nothing. Nothing at all.
I'm a Photoshop, then I'm going to claim it randomly got deleted out of my account, and I can't find it anymore. What happened? I may have just
You know why I like sports gambling, John? It's fun, and usually it's fair. It's fair, right? It's always fair. This is not fair. This is completely unfair.
It's never fair. I just told you I got screwed by Julio, those damn refs.
This is more ridiculous. You got to admit, though. This is crazy. You heard anything about like this before? A guy gets money for losing? For being a loser? Wow. Just wow.
It really is sickening.
It is. It is. I was pissed when I read that. I was like, no way. People were like, oh, yeah, good for him. Oh, happy ending.
It is good for him.
Well,
I don't disagree with him getting the $133,000.
But people should not acknowledge that. People should realize how ridiculous this is, how unfair this is.
Wait till he gets taxed on it. Once the IRS finds out.
I mean, that's fine. I'll still take my 90 grand.
That's fair. That's
really, though.
$25 free bet. Oh, no, the taxes. Okay, still got 90 grand.
Just insane.
Again, FanDuel, if you're listening, Julio caught that touchdown.
I still cannot believe they overturned that. I watched a replay again yesterday of that play.
I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, easy touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott, easy touchdown. Somehow my man Calvin Ridley even got an easy touchdown. Just needed Julio.
He got one.
And they took it away from me.
It's got to be sick.
It was sick.
But I will say
that fourth quarter I felt alive whenever the Titans were driving. Just throw into Julio. Come on. Never get through window.
You knew they were going to punch that
thing
in.
This is Derrick Henry nonstop. I wasn't mad about it.
I actually rewatched the end of the Cowboys game last night. I had it recorded, and it played over the replay of the Titans Seahawks game, so I rewatched the end. Really good job of just killing the clock there, just running all the way down. Russ had pretty much no shot at the end of the game.
They should have not declined the 10-second runoff.
They took a timeout.
It could have went from 29 seconds to 19 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Or 31 to 21, and then Henry scored 2 seconds later. Then Russell did have an extra 10 seconds to at least do something.
Couldn't do much, though. Pass rush. Bud Dupree did. He did make the
he
pressure.
Hit the hit. I told you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a good pressure.
He only registered three, but I thought he was
big
pretty.
One.
I thought he was around when it mattered.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what he looks like against like a non. I'm excited to see what the pass rush looks like. Not to make it about the Titans, but since you brought it up, I want to see what the pass rush looks like against somebody that's not Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson that can run around and do things. Like, let's see what Jacob Eason and Brett Hundley
can some,
do.
Some mobility still, right? He's kind of athletic.
We'll see. I think Kyler and Russell get a little bit more, but
maybe a little bit.
I want to see what it looks like back there now. Nick Sedlin?
What a disaster. So, speaking of the Lions and that Monday night loss, head coach Dan Campbell saying that Jamie Collins, pretty, I would say still a pretty good linebacker in the NFL, right, Cam? I mean...
Solid,
I would say, yeah, so, yeah
solid,
pretty yeah. solid, right? I mean, he was really good with
still
the Patriots.
Starting level, you know,
yeah.
linebacker.
Really good with the Patriots. What was that, 2019, I guess, when he last played there? I guess his first year with the Lions was last year. But he will not be in the building. He will not be participating in practice. He really won't be doing anything as the Lions are looking to trade him already, 2 weeks in. Exploring trades,
I think that's the
talking
right thing
to other
to
teams.
I think that's the right thing to do. Get, might as well get a couple of draft picks or get a draft pick, probably like a third or fourth round pick. You're going to be tanking this year. You're not going to be good. There's no reason to get a veteran out there playing and getting hurt or just having him on the bench. Somebody can use him. Mm-hmm. He's got something left in the tank.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, still pretty solid at least.
I don't know if Jalen Reeves-Maybin will be able to like be in like their future plan.
He is
either.
A stud special teamer, so I
sure.
think he's going to carve out a good role at least on special teams for wherever he is. For
yeah, I just mean at his
career.
Age, like if they're going like yeah. with a youth movement, I don't know if like he would be a part of that. I guess.
Yeah. Any teams you guys see in mind? Jamie Collins, anybody specifically?
I mean, I don't have anybody.
Everyone needs linebacker depth, right?
Is he more of a pass rusher or a linebacker? Pass rusher, right? Kind of outside in a 3-4, or am I?
I don't even know.
He's just like a traditional. I think he's solid at pass coverage, but I think he's just a traditional, going to stock up the tackles, you know, kind of guy. But
yeah. Staying in the NFL, Brady, Belichick, the debate continues, and Brady's personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, had some interesting thoughts on Bill Belichick and how he handled the Tom Brady situation, saying that Bill Belichick, quote, never evolved in how he treated the star QB. He said it was like Bill never really, and then he kind of paused for a second, I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age. He said as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. So these are some interesting quotes, interesting comments. What do you guys think about this? Is the Belichick not treating Brady differently, essentially, still treating him like just another NFL player? Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's foul?
I mean, Brady was probably always the late round draft pick that, you know, he had to coach around for most of his career, right? Like that, you know, like he's a game manager. And then when he evolved, he probably still treated him like that guy. It's like a father-son relationship. Sometimes in your father's eyes, you're always going to be your kid that is going to mess things up.
I wonder what he's specifically referring to. Is Brady like, or is Belichick
treating him
yelling at Brady?
I would say
or
treating
just
him expendable and like treating him like he's just any other veteran that he can like get rid of when he gets a little bit older. Like he was almost trying to do a Jimmy Garoppolo instead of realizing that he was every bit as much of the reason the Patriots were great as Belichick was.
Do you think that's? I mean, do you think that's fair? Treating every player, I don't want to say the same,
no,
but
I don't think you can do that in the NFL. I don't think you can do that in professional sports. Like, you know, just we know what. I mean, starting off with, like, we know what people make. You know what I mean? Like, we know salaries. Mm-hmm. We know everyone's not equal. It's not a college team that everyone's on the same scholarship, right? Like,
yep.
Hey, we know LeBron James makes $40 million. Like, you don't have to treat him the same as Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we know right. John Brady is the face of the franchise. You don't have to treat him the same as your left tackle. So, no, I don't think you can do that. And I think that's a bad way to approach it. And I don't know if Belichick, if he's still doing it and if he'll be able to, you know, overcome it. He's probably happier having a rookie quarterback that doesn't have an ego and personality, though.
Probably why he also likes Mac Jones so well. Used to yeah. kind of being coached by Nick Saban, probably good, well-coached kind of guy. So doesn't surprise me too much, at least. But I will say, Patriots and Bucks, well, they play not this week, but the next. Is that correct? And
I'm looking forward to that game.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Sunday Night Football, I believe.
Go ahead and put me on record. That's going to beat your Cowboys-Bucks game that you said, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Mark it down.
I can see it.
Mark it down. Board bet?
The Cowboys-Bucks have been the highest-rated game so far, right? I haven't seen anything that's surpassed it.
I don't know for sure if I can say that. I know the numbers weren't as big as they thought they were going to be for the Cowboys-Bucks game. Like, it was the biggest in the last couple of years, but it wasn't
still.
I don't think it was bigger than, like, Saints-Bucks last year, though.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
I didn't see that.
I want to say it just got, like, 23 million viewers. But I'll put that on the board. Belichick versus Brady will do more than that.
I mean, a Sunday night versus a Thursday night, it's a little different.
No, I think the Sunday night's going to help for sure.
Yeah, it does. What else will be interesting about that game is Brady is like, what, I think it's 499 or 500 exactly. I want to say it was 499 yards away from breaking the all-time record of 80,000 held by Drew Brees. So do a little bit of math. I would say he's probably not going to get 500 yards this week against the Rams, so it looks like the Patriots game would be prime time for him to go back to New England and break the record, which seems pretty pretty fitting.
I wonder if the NFL kept that in mind and tried to do some like loose math on like 350 yards a game.
You might be right. I don't know. He's thrown for quite a bit of yards here in the first two games, hasn't he?
I mean, like, you say he's how many yards away?
About 500. I think it's 499.
So, I mean, if he had done 350 like every game instead of like 400, I mean, it would have came out to basically having one good game against the Patriots to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right. That'd be the game to do it. Man, it's going to be a fun one.
Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Oh, I'm all way up here.
Back on the program. It's Thursday. You know what that means. Draven, what does it mean?
We got to play this or that.
Well, we do it. Have you came up with a new game yet?
No, it's not that easy, okay? It's not that easy.
It's really not that hard, although I haven't refreshed the games in a while, so I was kind of looking forward to you doing that, but I guess you forgot or have been busy at work with your office shut down for 3 weeks, so I guess, you've been really stressed out.
You got that right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that right.
No, it means it's Thursday Night Football.
Oh.
Thursday Night Football. The NFL is back tonight, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants to make you rich. They want you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. That's right, every week, every customer, both new and existing. And Thursday night is a great opportunity to give it a try because, let's face it, it's the only reason to watch the game tonight, either that or your fantasy teams. Although, should you really have any Texan fantasy players? Maybe Brandon Cooks? Maybe.
Just hoping for McCaffrey, probably.
With Carolina, you probably got at least, you know, you definitely got McCaffrey and probably DJ Moore, so you got that going at
maybe
least.
Maybe Anderson.
Maybe Anderson.
I'm pretty sure I got Robbie Anderson on my fantasy team, and he's well.
Are you starting him in week three?
I actually did start him last week.
Did you win?
How did he do?
Yeah, I did win.
Did he do anything? Because I feel like, you know, Robbie Anderson's a fine, like, guy, like, if you have some guys on a bye week, but there are no bye weeks in week three.
You got the hope he catches a deep ball is basically, usually I feel like, where he's at.
Well, if you're feeling some Robbie Anderson points, throw him in a same-game parlay. If that same-game parlay has at least three legs or more, you're eligible for this promotion. If you win, you keep the cash. If your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Cam's got the same-game parlay he's building right now. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. Fast payouts, easy to use, safe and secure. We all use it here at the station. We love FanDuel Sportsbook. Even though they kind of owe me some money from that Julio Jones touchdown, if you're listening. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can also claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win the Monday Night Football game when the Philadelphia Eagles march into Jerry's World to play the Dallas. How about them Cowboys? Just sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS. One word, no spaces, TALKSPORTS. If you win, you keep the cash. If your first bet loses, you can also get up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. That's promo code TALKSPORTS. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund is issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Cam, you got us the same game parlay built?
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this.
How big? We gotta have at least three legs. What do you like? Is it gonna be a crazy one?
No, this isn't too crazy. I didn't want to get too wild with this one.
I'll be the judge of that.
Okay. I got six legs for you. Got six legs for you. Oh, wait, crap. I didn't mean to actually place that bet.
What, you're just going to give it to the audience?
No, I would not place it.
No, I was playing around with the money and how much, like.
I don't know. Oh, no.
I'm sure you can cash out. They give you the cash out option.
Yeah, that may be the move. But okay, now we've committed.
We're all in.
Now I got to find it in my active bets. Okay, yeah, I got a same game parlay for you.
Well, are you going to give it or not? Because I got one if you need. If you can't give it to the audience, I don't know what the hell you're doing over there giggle boxing. Are you on drugs? What is happening here?
This is tripping me out a little
bit. Just hit cash out, bro. They'll give you the cash out.
They're not giving me a cash out right now.
They will in a second.
I think they will as well.
That's the good thing about FanDuel. If you accidentally put a bet in, usually you can cash it out.
Yeah, no, they take care of you. Sorry. I'm just rebuilding it because I was going to add the leg, but I didn't have in there the first time. I'm just making sure I got the numbers right for y'all. I know.
All right, I'm going with my same game parlay. Okay, forget it. Here's what I got, Draven. You can get plus 197. So I'm going low here. All right, I'm trying to double my money. I'm not going something crazy in this game because, quite frankly, when I was looking at the anytime TD scores, I don't there's going to be a lot of touchdowns in this game. And, like, Christian McCaffrey's almost 1-3 odds to score a touchdown. Yeah. If anything, I'd bet on him to score two, not just one, because the odds ain't worth it. I got Carolina Panthers bought down to minus 2.5. Okay, just got to win by field goal.
Okay.
Gotcha. I got Sam Darnold over 225 yards.
Okay.
And I got Christian McCaffrey over 51.5 receiving yards.
Okay.
How many receiving yards has he had through the first two games?
He's
had like 60-something last week, I think.
I want to say he's had 70 and 80 his first 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
I would say that would make sense. A lot of checkdowns.
Not even checkdowns. They just, you know, they put him in
design
the
plays too, yeah.
If 50 yards, I mean, that's really the only one that I would be nervous about. Darnold has hit basically 290 each game, so I think he'll get to 225.
He'll get over on that.
And I think, you know, basically you're getting as far as I'm concerned in this bet, you're getting 2-1 odds on Christian McCaffrey getting 51 receiving yards. Does it get the Draven stamp of approval or no?
I like it.
John, I'm a little nervous about McCaffrey's receiving yards.
I would be a little skeptical about that one. Short week, maybe not trying to get him the ball as much, maybe more just carries rather than throwing it to him and running it to him.
He's Christian McCaffrey.
It's a lot of wear and tear on a team that you should pretty handedly beat, in my opinion. So I don't think you're going to see a ton of McCaffrey tonight. That's just what
he
I think. I could be wrong.
You always see a ton of McCaffrey. That's like his thing.
Well, I'm just saying, again, short week. I'm just saying, short week. Like, I think he'll get his touches, he'll get his carries, but throwing him at the ball a lot, I won't see. Not to mention, I mean, Texans' secondary is terrible.
What's the lowest amount of receiving yards he's ever had? I feel like, I mean,
I feel like it's
at least targets-wise, I feel like he gets 8 damn targets a game.
Yeah.
I would say so. Yeah.
So you don't like the over? Cam, do you like the over 51?
I do. I have it in mind, but I did the alternate to where I got him over 50, so basically same thing. Yeah, so I like that for sure.
Are you sure? Do I need to alter this?
I mean, 9 targets week 1, 6 targets week 2.
I just think he needs 6 targets again.
Yeah, I think that's doable.
Two of the last 3 games, 2 of his games in the regular season last year, he only had 29 and 38.
Only 2 games?
Well, he only played 3.
Play a ton, yeah.
And then in his third game, he came back in November and had 10 targets for 10 catches and 82 yards against the Chiefs, and then he was done for the year.
That was right, Teddy, not Darnold.
I barely
you off?
Said don't blame me. I barely said anything.
He might
go over. You never know.
2019, the whole the last 7 games of the season, he had this. He had 121, 69, 58, 82, 88, 119, and 72.
They're going to get him. It's not even the fact. He don't even really need a ton of targets. Just he's good in space. He's going to make yardage.
I don't know about it. 2-1 odds, at least.
All right. What if I take it off mine to give the audience one that doesn't involve it?
Yeah, do that.
Do that? Okay. Minus the yards. If it will let me take it. What is my FanDuel doing?
What are you doing over here? I've never seen such a thing.
I don't know. Okay. I got one. It's just... plus 765.
Okay.
Got Davis Mills, over 200 yards. He threw for 108 last week. He can throw 200 yards in a game. If they're trailing,
yeah,
you'll get to 200
garbage
yards
time,
in the NFL.
But man,
yeah,
he
you'll get to 200
sucks,
yards in the NFL.
He'll be They're going to run the ball so much early in the game. Like, he's
They're
so bad.
They're going to be trying to short the game. You would think he'd get to 200 yards, though.
I think he can get to 200 yards.
Surely to God he can get to 200 yards.
You would hope so. I have Davis Mills, plus 200 yards. I got Sam Darnold, plus 225 like John.
I don't like that.
I got Christian McCaffrey.
Those
anytime.
Aren't, like, his actual. That's, like, an adjusted
alternate.
One. So yeah. It's only, like, it's like minus 300, I think.
Yep. And then I have Christian McCaffrey, anytime first half touchdown scorer.
Okay. Where are the odds on Chris McCaffrey first half anytime touchdown?
It's like plus 110.
Damn it, I should have put down there instead of his receiving yards.
Rats. Yeah, it's like plus 110 on that.
Last week, David Mills was 8 of 18 for 102 yards.
It's terrible.
That was in relief.
200
yards,
yards
in relief?
It's going to be close, I'm telling
he's
you.
He's going to get to 200 yards.
He's going to have 50 at halftime, so you better hope for a lot of garbage time.
That's one. You can get to 200. You can get to 200. And then I have DJ Moore, 50-plus receiving yards, alternate receiving yards.
How's he been doing so far this year?
I think he's been the number one guy. I mean, he's...
They've been doing pretty good through the air. Like
I mean,
said,
I was going to say they've been slinging it.
Darnold's getting 290-ish.
Last week, he had 8 receptions, 79 yards, and a touchdown.
And 6 and 80
targets.
In week one, so, yeah.
He's the guy. So I got him over 50. And then I have Carolina, minus 4.5 in the first half. That's plus
765. I'd be up by at least a touchdown at halftime. Probably more. It seemed like a double-digit lead, maybe. 10.
76 on that.
Is there any chance Houston wins tonight?
I hope, but I don't think so.
I don't know. I kind of lost hope on David Culley. By the way, I watched the clip of him talking about the whole fourth down situation. Kind of looks like an idiot. Maybe motivates his players, gets these guys a little fired up. He kind of looks
He's
like
there
an idiot. Yeah, he is. He is.
I didn't even let me cash out on this other bet.
They haven't?
No.
If Houston had Terod, I think this game might be kind of close, but I don't have Terod, so.
No, yeah, if Terod was playing, I think that the Houstons might could win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the Houstons, the Texans
the
could
Houstons.
Maybe win.
Yeah.
I think they might beat the Browns last week. Actually, as a Titans fan, I'm kind of, I mean, I feel bad for Terod, but. I was a little worried they'd, you know, win a couple games and, like, make it a whole season thing. Maybe at one
scared
point,
of the Texans.
I mean, like, I just feel like if the Texans were 4-2 and Terod goes down, maybe Deshaun Watson's like, you know what? I might come back. This team looks like it might be ready to play. Let's go to the break. We'll come back. We'll hit the G3 Help Me Hotlines and speak with Jordan DeJani. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, it's Thursday. It's 1:30-ish. It's a good time. It's a good day to go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines and grab Jordan DeJani of CBS Sports. What up, Jordan?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
How'd you do last week, Jordan?
We didn't do very well, and I'm very glad I got my bragging out last week as the former number one against the spread expert at CBS because we fell flat on our faces here. So a very volatile season. Great first week, terrible second week, but that's what it is when it comes to gambling. Ebbs and flows. You're not going to ball out every week. It's all about your end-of-the-season record. So, ready to bounce back here in week 3.
You hear that, Draven? End-of-the-season record. That's what it's all about. I warned you, you got a little too cocky week one. I said there's only one way to go, and boy, did you go down.
Yeah, obviously. I had to get my cockiness out. I had to at least make my note out, my name known out there in case I had a good week too. But sure enough, as you said, there's only one way to go, and we went down. But hey, it's only week 2, ready to get back at it.
What was our guarantee? What was your lock of the week here on our show? I don't remember. Do you remember?
Yes, I do, and I'm glad you brought it up. So I didn't do well last week, and it was probably the first week in my career where I felt like I got really robbed by a lot of games. So my lock was the Los Angeles Rams at Indianapolis Colts.
Minus
we failed to cover by failed to cover by half a point. I mean, then we had Lamar Jackson somehow beating the Kansas City Chiefs. That was crazy. The Bengals, I didn't know Joe Burrow was going to throw 100 interceptions back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Yes, we had a lot of things that I felt a little bad about.
I will say, Jordan, if you're listening to the show, I told Draven not to take the Bengals on the road. That's your fault for taking Joe Burrow on the road, but I was with you on the Rams and the Ravens, or slash the Chiefs, I guess, so I won't give you too hard of a time. What were there any big storylines coming out of week two that still resonate, or was it pretty much every team that needed a win pretty much got a win? You know, all the good teams able to get back to 500.
Yeah, so, you know, there are a lot of storylines coming out of it in terms of, well, we're still trying to figure out which teams are contenders and which teams are pretenders. There's a lot of undefeated teams that haven't played any formidable opponents just yet, so we're still trying to figure that out. But the other thing that really stood out to me moving forward was the quarterback injuries. I mean, with the Miami Dolphins, with the Chicago Bears, with the Indianapolis Colts, with the even Las Vegas Raiders, to see how healthy Derek Carr is. That's obviously, having your franchise quarterback hampered is going to affect your potential as we move forward into the regular season. So I thought we saw a lot of injuries with the quarterbacks in week two. So I'm interested to see how that affects not only the lines moving forward, but also what who's going to get in the win column in week three.
Yeah, I mean, with these teams with quarterback injuries, I don't even know what the answer is either, because it doesn't seem like any of them have good backup quarterback situations. Maybe if Derek Carr was hurt and Marcus Mariota was healthy, it would be a good opportunity for him. But, of course, Mariota injured as it is. None of the other teams. I guess Justin Fields is going to get thrusted into the starting job this week. I wasn't impressed with him against Cincinnati. Although, I'm more interested to see what happens with when Nagy can put a game plan in for him for an entire week. Do you think that Fields will do well enough in this audition start to keep the job the rest of the year? Or do you think Nagy's telling the truth whenever he says we're going back to Dalton when Dalton is healthy?
Yeah, that's a very tough question, because I do really think the Bears are convinced that Andy Dalton can be their legitimate QB1 moving forward. But, I mean, if Justin Fields somehow pulls an upset out, then they're going to be faced with a very tough decision to make. And, in fact, even if Justin Fields went on the road, it wouldn't even shock me that much if Andy Dalton was the quarterback the next week. That's how much I think Matt Nagy has confidence in him. So, in terms of Justin Fields' potential moving forward, I do think that he has the potential to have a really good performance and maybe challenge the Browns on their home field. We saw the Browns didn't cover against the Texans last week. They're a little bit inconsistent on both sides of the ball. And last week we saw that the Bears' defense, I think, is one of the best in the league as well. So this is a situation we're going to be moderating as we move down to the regular season.
Speaking with Jordan DeJani on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. All right, Jordan, as we look ahead to week three, who's under the most pressure? Let's do a little pressure meter. Give me some guys, give me some teams, some coaches, some quarterbacks. Who are under pressure heading into week three?
Yeah, that's a good question in terms of MVP candidates and really good teams that we imagine are Super Bowl contenders. But I kind of go the other way with it. I'm very interested in this New York Giants-Atlanta Falcons matchup. I think that Joe Judge is really starting to feel the heat on his seat. I feel like he doesn't have the total backing of his team. Daniel Jones played really well last week, but he obviously the Giants lost. So I'm interested to see if he can really step up and actually carry his entire team to a victory against the Falcons team, which definitely has some fight with them. Another team that may be under the radar, how about the Los Angeles Chargers? They have an opportunity here to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. That would be a major upset. But at the same time, they dropped the game to the Cowboys last week. If they go down to 1-2, that'll be kind of interesting, especially with their history of not being able to stay healthy. I wonder if their stock could really sink coming into week three. But, you know, there's a lot of interesting matchups to break down.
Yeah, Herbert and the Chargers really need to get it going offensively. They've moved the ball, but they haven't scored touchdowns. And to me, I can't call Justin Herbert, you know, a top-level quarterback until he starts putting points up, especially in the red zone. He's been hampered by that through 2 weeks so far.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was pointing to. You know, Justin Herbert and some of the throws he makes down the field shows that he has that franchise quarterback potential. But when we talk about franchise quarterback potential, you have to be able to step up and lead your team down the field when it matters most and get them into the win column. So this is a great opportunity for him to do that. But, I mean, yeah, we expected more from this offense coming into week three.
6.5-point spread. The Chiefs are favored. Chiefs 0-2 against the spread. I'll say their defense is under a little pressure, too. They got to show they can stop somebody. I mean, my goodness.
Yep, I would agree with that. And here's an interesting stat that relates to the Chiefs. As we exit week two, the worst two defenses in the NFL are the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. So those are two things to monitor as we move forward, too.
Obviously, less worried about the Chiefs' defense just, you know, being paired with Patrick Mahomes in that offense, but the Ravens' defense being the last in the league, that has to be troublesome. Although, you know, I guess you went against the Raiders, who look to be pretty good so far offensively, and the Chiefs, who we know are a juggernaut offensively. So the Ravens should be able to really improve their numbers this week against the Lions, one would think. Although it does seem like it's going to have to take a legendary performance, an MVP type of performance all year from Lamar Jackson to keep them in that AFC North race.
Yep, I would agree with that. And we're not going to be able to figure out and answer many questions about Baltimore's defense on Sunday. But the next week, they play the Denver Broncos, who I imagine are going to be undefeated because they're playing the Jets this week. I don't know what favors the Denver Broncos did for the schedule makers, but you know, they played three nobodies through the first 3 weeks of the NFL regular season. So we'll see if the Broncos are for real, and we'll see if the Ravens defense can improve on that Sunday, October 3rd matchup.
You don't have to be mad at the Denver Broncos just because you were a year early on them, Jordan. That was one of the reasons I told you I like Denver this year was the schedule at the beginning of the year, because they were going to be able to get out to 3-0 and kind of feel good about Teddy and the boys. So I feel good about my Denver to make the playoffs pick. Let's head over to Cashville, where you reside. The Titans able to, you know, look like the Titans that everyone was kind of hoping to see in the second half against the Seahawks. Did they fix their problems from week one, or are you concerned that this is still going to be the same old Titans who can beat anybody in the league and also turn around and lay an egg? Because on Sunday they play the Colts, who are coming in here limping at 0-2, maybe ready to be taken out back and put down like your old family horse who breaks its leg. Easy, big fella.
Nay.
Hold still. Boom! Have the Titans figured it out, or do you think they might stumble against the Colts? Or, yeah, against the Colts.
So, that's to be determined, to be honest with you, because I don't think the Colts, you know, provide a formidable opponent, even though it's in Tennessee. So we'll see how that works out. But, you know, the people that I've talked to, it seems like they're leaning more towards that the Titans are the team that they showed to be in week two as opposed to week one. I mean, that thrilling overtime comeback win was absolutely incredible. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks were coming off of 11 or 12 straight home opening wins. And when you see a comeback on the road in a hostile environment, it usually has to do with your quarterback and the passing attack. But the Titans were able to pull it off with their running back, who is the best in the league. So that was really fascinating to watch, even though the officiating was not up to par that Sunday. But also, you got to give credit to this makeshift offensive line. When Taylor Lewan went down, I thought this was a guaranteed Seahawks win before kickoff, if you will. So they were able to figure it out, come together, get some looks where Derrick Henry had to make one guy miss at the line of scrimmage, and then he was facing open field. The defense stepped up as well. They had serious issues in the secondary. I'm not overlooking that, but they were able to play well enough. We saw the emergence of second-year cornerback Christian Fulton. I think he's a kid on the rise. So I don't think the Colts are going to provide a tough test for them here in week three. But, you know, I do think that the Titans are better than the team they showed themselves to be in the season opener.
To me, really, the secondary is just the second safety spot. I mean, maybe the Titans just can't figure that out all year. But I'm okay with the cornerbacks right now. Jenkins, okay. Like you said, Christian Fulton has really taken a leap. Maybe within a couple of games you'll have Caleb Farley back, you know, the top pick you feel really good about. So maybe the secondary gets fixed. I was impressed with the pass rush. I know Bud Dupree isn't putting up big numbers yet, but I thought he had some timely rushes. Danico Autry looks to be worth every penny. Looking forward to his revenge game against the Colts this weekend. I hope the Titans just come out and make a statement, because they have a chance to really put a stranglehold on this division. Which, shout out to the Colts for trading for Carson Wentz and having him no backup quarterback despite him being made of glass. Let's get to your week three best bet NFL pick. You can read all of them on CBS Sports. Jordan's going to bounce back. I'm thinking a big week three. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so I figured this out 5 minutes before I got on the phone with you guys.
Oh, great.
For my two locks of the week, I'm 1-1. And in both games, I faded the Indianapolis Colts. I picked their opponent as my locks of the week. And you know what, John? I think I'm going to do it again here in week three. We were breaking down this Titans-Colts game over the course of the interview. I think the Titans are a good team, and they're facing off a familiar opponent back to the embrace of their arms, of their home fans, against an opponent without quarterback, with quarterback issues. I mean, I don't know how a quarterback sprains both of his ankles. That sounds like a basketball injury when you get crossed up on the hardwood. But Carson Wentz doesn't seem like he's going to be 100% come Sunday. So the Colts offense hasn't been great. They're averaging just 20 points per game. That's tied for number 25 in the league. And here's a crazy stat. I didn't believe this from our research team. I had to go back to the game logs and actually look this up. The Colts have also run 8 plays inside the 5-yard line this season, which is tied for the most in the NFL. Of those 8 plays, they've scored 0 points. So they have serious offensive issues, serious red zone issues, a banged up Carson Wentz, and it looks like they might be employing a two-quarterback strategy on opponent's turf. This is Houston Oilers week in Nashville as well. Nearly 80 former players will be in attendance. It's going to be a special day at Nissan Stadium. I thought this line probably should be a little higher. I'm not an odds maker, but I'm going to roll with the Titans -5.
Follow Jordan on Twitter. Follow his work on CBS Sports. Appreciate you as always, my brother.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Talk to you next week. Jordan Jani joined us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help get you the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's g3helpme.com. Again, g3helpme.com. What do we think? Jordan Jani's lock of the week, the Titans -5 against the Colts. Draven, how do you feel?
Yeah, I would say it feels pretty safe when you're going up against Brett Hundley. So it's so crazy to me how lucky the Titans are at this point. Like, how lucky can you be? Like, literally, in 2 weeks, what's the impression of every other team? The Jags are a mess.
We knew that.
The Texans are without their quarterback.
We knew that.
Well, I'm saying just the season in general, just looking from the outlook here. I mean, yeah, you got lucky. And then look at the Colts. Starting quarterback gets hurt. And now you got split reps between Brett Hundley and Jacob Eason. Here we go. Like, come on.
How is that any different, I mean, about than, you know, any other division in NFL football? It happens sometimes. The NFC East, it's happened the last 2 years.
What's happened?
Just every team being a train wreck. The Cowboys aren't necessarily running through a murderer's row against the Eagles, who are, you know, are not in a very different situation than the Texans were. Jalen Hurts, Tyrod Taylor, not that different. Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones, whatever. And then, you know,
I don't know about that.
Daniel Jones is probably a little bit better, but I mean, the Giants aren't some juggernaut. And then you look at, you know, Washington losing their starting quarterback. It happens sometimes.
Wow. Yeah.
It happens.
Since they were really relying on that starting quarterback, huh?
And they gave him pretty big money. They brought him in to be a starter.
Yeah.
I don't think it was that much different than Carson Wentz. I mean, in 2021, Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than Carson Wentz.
That's a bad take. That's a bad take.
Well, right now they're equal because neither one can stay on the field, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is every bit as good as Carson Wentz is.
I completely disagree with that. Like, Carson Wentz's ceiling is so much higher. It's not even close.
And his floor is the same in, like, on the ground. Both of them suck at their floor. It's not about Carson Wentz's ceiling. Why do people keep wanting to hold on to that? Why do people want to keep holding on to guys' ceilings? Every now and then, like, when you're 8 years in the league, how long has he been in the league now? Not 8 years, but what, since 15? Was that when they got drafted?
Yes.
2015, Wentz and Goff?
It's 2016.
Is anyone sitting around talking about Jared Goff's ceiling anymore?
No.
So why are we still doing it with Carson Wentz? Like, is anybody sitting around talking about Marcus Mariota's ceiling anymore?
It's a little different.
It's not.
Jared Goff never had
Jared Goff hasn't had the injury history. You're right. It's probably a little bit better. Like, he just had to deal with a broken thumb.
Never had an MVP-like season. When you have a quarterback who plays that well, when he literally plays that well.
He did go to the Super Bowl as well. Goff had stretches in 2018 where he played every bit as good as Wentz did. Now, he fell apart. Like, they got kind of exposed in the Super Bowl by Belichick. But Goff had just as good of moments as Carson Wentz did. I mean, that Monday Night Football game when they beat the Chiefs, that was a career highlight for Jared Goff.
Yeah.
No one talks about his ceiling anymore. No one talks about Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston. But for some reason, we keep going back to Carson Wentz's ceiling. And it's not just you, Draven. It's everybody. And I don't get it.
It's because look at Ryan Tannehill. You get traded from a bad team to a good team. Because Goff's situation is different. He went from a good team to a bad team. Like, that's why everybody kind of gives up on Jared Goff.
But no one's talking about Jared Goff's ceiling in L.A. anymore either. Like, they're just like, yeah, we don't need you anymore. You're out of here.
They all thought it was Sean McVay.
Sure. But, I mean, like, you could say the same thing about Wentz and
who?
Frank Reich. Or not Frank Reich. Or Frank Reich and Doug Peterson, either one, whichever one you want to
say.
Well,
people were pretty sour on Doug Peterson by the end of his time. His last 2 years were pretty rough for him.
Really just his last year, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they did go to the playoffs
It was really just his last year. It's kind of amazing how quickly they fired him after winning a Super Bowl.
Well, that's Philly. That's Philly for you, too. I mean,
and when you lose
the
locker
fans
room,
were done.
And when you lose a locker room, it happens, and he mismanaged the Carson Wentz situation for sure, and then he kind of mismanaged the Jalen Hurts situation in Week 17 when he put in – who was it he put in? Week
Sudfield.
17? Yeah.
Nate Sudfield.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the one that said that the Titans weren't going to win the division, so I feel completely fine. Like, it is a train wreck. The AFC South is a train wreck. That is 100% accurate, but that's – you know, it happens. Titans have had their fair share at the bottom of a train wreck. It happens. Whenever you're in the same division as a juggernaut, it's easier to rebuild. The Texans looked around and was like, you know, we're not going to be able to compete with the Titans for a while. Let's rebuild. Same as the Jags.
I don't think that's necessarily how that went.
Kind of.
I feel like the Texans just kind of had to go into rebuild because of the Deshaun Watson stuff that was pouring out during the offseason.
They went into the rebuild last year when they traded DeAndre Hopkins in the offseason after the Titans went to the AFC Championship.
No, they were not rebuilding. I don't think that was Bill O'Brien's goal. I think he just
they
didn't.
Traded Hopkins
no,
for draft
that
picks.
Was just that was him just being a jerk. He just didn't like DeAndre Hopkins. He thought he was completely overrated and didn't want to pay him. That's what that's what that was
what
about.
What did they go last year? 3-13, 4-12? If they weren't rebuilding, they were doing something wrong.
Just saying. They just went to the AFC champion or the AFC divisional round and was up 24-0 on the Chiefs the year before.
Okay.
And then
they went 3-13 or 4-12, whatever it was.
Well, that's fine, but I'm just saying I don't think they went into the offseason thinking, oh, we're going to tank.
They traded their best player in the offseason.
That was more of a Bill O'Brien issue. He didn't like DeAndre Hopkins. He didn't want to pay DeAndre Hopkins. He felt like he wasn't worth it. He said, let's go get these, four different slot receivers and we're going to be fine. And they weren't. And then he got fired. That was all Bill O'Brien. We all know it was just Bill O'Brien who completely just botched the whole GM situation.
Yeah. I mean, it was.
And then, of course, Deshaun Watson and the scandals and all that.
Well, they were done with Deshaun Watson before the scandals, right? Like, Deshaun Watson asked out before the scandals.
Yeah, yeah. He demanded a trade, and it was like, the day after? I want to say even just
a
couple days.
It was like within a couple of days because everyone was convinced it was a smear campaign because, like, the lawyer representing those women were, like, in Houston and was like,
yeah, we
in
first
the same
saw
neighborhood,
it when
in
we
the same
first
neighborhood
saw it
as you know the owners of there. So
right when we first saw it, we all kind of thought, there's no way this is true, right? We kind of leaned into Sean's way, but
for sure,
they're lucky, man. You can admit the Titans have been pretty fortunate, right? There's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't make them any worse of a team. It's just, yeah, it's nice when you could probably easily go 6-0 in the division have any chase at all.
Would be the luck, like? Andrew Luck retiring 3 years ago? Like, is that the luck? Because that's the only luck that it seems to be for me. Like, that's the only thing that's, like, out of the ordinary.
Well, the whole Deshaun Watson thing.
Again, they were going to trade him before that. Like, they got rid of J.J. Watt. Like, I mean, they were going through rebuild mode before the Deshaun Watson scandal came out. We just discussed it.
Well, that's fine, but, I mean, they didn't trade him. They can't trade him. Now he's just stuck taking up a roster when they could have traded him and maybe got Tua in return and been a little bit better of a team. I don't know. Could have got somebody.
Tua. So if they had Tua, you would feel like the Titans were going up against...
It's better than Davis Mills? What? What?
I don't know how much better
It's a lot better than Davis Mills.
Well, I don't know how much better Tua is than Tyrod Taylor. Like, honestly. Like, I don't think you could make a case that Tua is much better than him.
Very similar quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would probably rather have Tyrod. I mean, you know, versus what we've seen of Tua last year. Now, granted, we haven't seen enough of him this year, and, like, the ceiling's higher, but it happens.
Lucky.
I just don't know how it's luck. Again, if you want to say it's fortunate that Andrew Luck retired, sure, but I would say the Colts not protecting him isn't lucky. It's just they're a bad brand organization. It is kind of wild. They only won one Super Bowl with all the talent they've had the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. It seems like every year they're kind of in the conversation other than the year, Peyton was out.
We just saw them, put three players in the Hall of Fame from that era?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
I mean, I would like it. I would like to have the one Super Bowl, so like they'll always be able to like hang that over my head. But at the same time, I mean, it feels like you kind of fumbled the bag. You had two franchise quarterbacks during that time. I mean, they pretty much had 20 straight years of franchise quarterbacks.
And one Super Bowl to show for it. Yeah.
I feel like I fumbled the bag a little bit. Like, Reggie Wayne will be in the Hall of Fame soon, right? I mean.
You think so?
Should be.
Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.